Welcome, everybody. May 24th, 2011. And we, yes, as we were just talking about, we are moving into Gemini. We have moved into Gemini. We're at the very beginning, having started Gemini the 21st of May through June 21st. So Gemini brings lighter, happier energy. Gemini's ruled by Mercury, so we're getting some relief. We have been through a whole period of really intense astrological configurations, really intense energies, really sometimes dark energies. We've had a lot of planetary experiences between Fukushima and now last night, all the tornadoes, Joplin, with people dying. We'll do a call in a little bit. So we are definitely have been in the midst of really intense frequencies, energies, planetary changes, earth changes, a lot of changes on the planet. So in Gemini, we're looking forward to having a little bit of a lighter mental attitude, a little bit of a happier, lighter time. So we're going to talk about where we've been, the energies we've been working with, energies that are still affecting us archetypically, and how we move into this lighter, happier time, and we can enjoy ourselves and celebrate our lives here on the planet. We have been working, we just have come out of Taurus, and we still have planets in Taurus. We have that Venus-Mars conjunction in Taurus. We also have Taurus and Mercury, Venus, and Mars. These are all Earth. These all have to do with how we relate to the Earth, how we relate to physical, and how not only the physical Earth, but how we relate to the physical world in general, and how we relate to our physical bodies. We're moving into a time with these archetypical energies that have been coming through. What these energies have been helping us do and bring through from now and forward, new energies on the planet that will be here for us to work with, is breaking up the imprints, or we could call it the social conditioning or the matrix, of how we have kept ourselves from uniting, bringing spirituality into matter. So this is what this time is about. This is a bridge time. This is a time to bridge spirit and matter. This is time to redeem the bad rap that matter has gotten since Eve ate the apple in the Garden of Eden. Since we were told by Christian mythology that people are born with original sin, since we were given guilt and shame as an archetype in the culture, since we were given the priest who wanted to control people's minds. So when we moved from the earth, the way of relating, the pagan, so to speak, religions or way of living, where people worshiped the mother and worshiped the earth and lived in tune with the seasons, to the priesthood telling people what they had to do to save themselves from original sin so they could go to heaven, we have gotten out of touch with the earth, out of touch with our bodies. So this time frame has to do with breaking away the social conditioning, breaking off, breaking the bonds of that which has bound us to the illusion that the body is not sacred, and that the body of the earth is not sacred. So it goes together. With that kind of thinking also comes the idea that people can destroy or dominate the earth without consequences for how it's going to affect life on the planet and each individual life. So we're being redeemed at this time. We're moving into a time when we can refine and beautify our consciousness, our awareness, into beauty, joy, love, laughter, and happiness, so we can love the earth and love our bodies and love the plants and love the animals and love all of creation and bring heaven to earth and spiritualize all of creation and see spirit and creation and heaven and earth as being a flow, as being a flow, as being something that we can move into with glowing hearts, with lots of love. So we are archetypically, with this planetary configuration that we have right now, healing the split between spirit and matter. We, in the matrix, in the consciousness, in the archetypical matrix of the group mind of the planet. So we're breaking up the thought form that you have, that it's better in heaven than it is on earth. That's not true. We can bring heaven to earth. And that is what is happening during this time period as we get infused more and more with these high-frequency beings from the galactic core. So we're moving into uniting these opposites, uniting these polarity, uniting these dualities, understanding the power of the polarities as we've been talking about, and releasing that which binds us into a certain rigid thought form that doesn't allow us the freedom to experience the joy of creation. This is a time where we're releasing guilt and shame. So what has kept people feeling that their body is bad or the earth is bad is this whole overlay of people feeling, been told that they're wrong or bad, the whole guilt, the whole shame. There's inherently something wrong with you. So if you have any thoughts inside yourself, or you notice the thoughts in the matrix of the group mind around you, it's a time to really believe and be with your own individual beauty, your own self-worth. So it's a really time to notice the value, notice our value as co-creators, and notice, re-establish the value of the earth herself, that we're dealing with something that's priceless. The gift of life is priceless. You can't put a price tag on it. You can't go buy a life. It's a gift that's given. You can't just go purchase another earth. So this is a time of releasing the guilt and shame and cracking it off like it's a layer of mud or something that we no longer need. It's just cracking off and falling off and falling out of, and we're replacing it with the new archetypes, the archetype of the earth being precious. And we're going to talk about the archetype that we're working with this week. We are moving from the archetype of original sin, Eve eating the apple in the Garden of Eden, tasting her sensuality and then being cast out of the garden. We're moving back into the garden. We're moving back into the world. We're reclaiming our bodies as beautiful. We're reclaiming the earth as beautiful. We're reclaiming our sensuality. We're reclaiming our love. We're reclaiming our love for each other, reclaiming Adam's love for Eve. He doesn't have to cast her away. And the archetype that we're working with this week is the archetype of Dionysus, or Bacchus, the Roman god of wine. And this was the god who inspired madness. He was a major figure in Greek mythology. So he represents the intoxicating power of wine, the intoxicating power of wine. So when somebody's intoxicated, they can't be controlled. If somebody's intoxicated, whether it's from meditation or wine, again, this is all representation, and they're in a state of ecstasy, they're not concerned about social conditioning, right, wrong, good, bad, guilt, shame, all that. They've gone beyond all that social conditioning. So this is what Dionysus Bacchus shows us, the way to live in this state of intoxication, this state of inspired madness, and what the beneficial influences on society are to actually live in that state. This is what we're being shown this week. And so Bacchus is known for the frenzy that he brings, the frenzy that he induces. And he's known as the liberator, the one who frees one from one's normal self. You know, who you think you are based on what other people have told you. And he does this by his ability to intoxicate, to bring madness, ecstasy, and giving that sip of wine so people forget that they're supposed to be, you know, sinful or wrong or bad or uptight or whatever you want to call it. So it's his divine mission to inspire with the music of the muses and to bring an end to people's heaviness, to their cares, to their worries, to release the soul and to preside over the communication between heaven and earth. So these are some of the powers and the gifts that Bacchus brings to us. He's said to have been born from Zeus and Persephone. He's said to have been born from the god Zeus and the heavenly god Zeus and the mortal Persephone, who was in the underworld. So again, the mythology is that he's born out of the union of heaven and earth, and that's what we're talking about, is uniting the union. This is the period of union. This is the energies that the planets are sending to us right now. He's also described as being androgynous, both man and woman, a man, womanish man, kind of androgynous, where he has those beautiful qualities. So he's not macho and he's not passive, you know. He's got the best of both worlds, in other words, the best of heaven and earth. And it's said that he was, Persephone, his mother, was pregnant with him, but there was jealousy, and so the mother was killed, and Zeus grabbed the baby and put him in his thigh, and then he was born out of the thigh of a god. So again, all these stories relate to heaven and earth, the combination. Okay, so there's something, there's a problem on earth, so the heavenly forces are going to come and rescue earth, rescue life on earth, or not rescue, but bring to would be more appropriate, intervene, allow life to live. So it's a time where we can say this is a time when life is coming forth. We're beginning to live life from a new awareness, a new consciousness, and that also has to do with Gemini. Gemini sees the potential. Gemini explores all kinds of different ways of seeing life, seeing different activities. Gemini celebrates, so we're moving into the celebration of life on Earth. How can we look at life differently? How can we open up different possibilities? How can we move into a time when we're nourishing life and not destroying life? So also as an infant, Bacchus Dionysus, he was given to the rain nymphs to take care of him when he was a baby. So think about that. The nymphs are like very central creatures. And rain, what does that mean? It symbolizes purification. It symbolizes water. We've been working with the water element, the renewal. So this whole time is a renewal through washing away old beliefs, old thought forms. We could even say washing away the sin of thinking you have sin. So this archetype is what we're working with right now. This culture of that Dionysus bring, the culture of the vine and extracting its precious juices, its life force, to break up thought forms that bind, that cause life not to flourish, and to bring freedom to people so they can know how to live. And it said that Dionysus wandered all over the earth, and that he took an expedition to India that lasted several years. And when he came back in a triumphant return, he introduced how to live in another way into his native Greece, and how to live in this way of intoxication, of ecstasy. So again, it also brings in, the mythology brings in the yogic model of, you know, meditation and living in this ecstatic state, and introducing how to release the tension of cultural conditioning that makes us smaller and smaller and smaller, rather than freeze us up. So Dionysus brings all these different qualities. It's even one of the stories about him says that has to do with Midas and the golden cut. So one of the stories about him, because he could also grant favors to people, or like we would say in yogic terms, siddhas. So Midas asked him his favor, he said, Dionysus, I want everything I touch to turn to gold. He was really, you know, money hungry. So Dionysus wasn't sure at first, but then he consented, and then everything Midas touched turned to gold, which was fine for a short time until he got hungry. Then he went up to pick up his food at his table, and all of his food turned to gold. So he begged Dionysus, please take this power away, which Dionysus did. And then he was relieved. Midas put his hands into the water, into the Ganges, and the water flowed with gold, flowed with the energy of gold, and Midas was released. So again, it was the water that was the transformation, and the water was energized. So all these archetypical symbols have to do with how do we use these powers, and Midas was going to misuse these powers, these ecstatic powers. When you're freed from cultural conditioning, you know that you're a powerful co-creator, you're a powerful being, and you can misuse the powers, but you can also use it to give life, to celebrate life, to protect life, and that's what we're learning, and that's what we're learning from Dionysus, and that is the archetype that we're working with today. We're bringing heaven onto earth. We're spiritualizing matter. We're uplifting the frequencies. We're enjoying the Garden of Eden. We're not kicked out of the garden, and we're not taking things personally. So we could say on an individual level that one of the keys to the kingdom of being freed and one of the keys to living joyfully in the Garden of Eden is don't take things personally. Be connected to the freedom of spirit, because when we start to get into the ego consciousness, the identifying with the ego, that means we're taking things personally. So whatever happens around us, if somebody says something to you or somebody acts a certain way, just give it to the expanded state of spirit and say, I'm not going to take this personally. I don't know why I'm experiencing this. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why this person is telling this to me, but I'm not guilty. I'm not going to allow any feelings of guilt or shame or limitation to come up, no matter how anybody else treats me. So when we can take our experiences out of the personal and into the unlimited spiritual state, now we can live joyfully in the garden and enjoy the garden and enjoy the planet and enjoy each other and live in balance and live in freedom and live in liberation. And that is what Bacchus brings us today, as we move into the happy sign of Gemini, and we work with the planets that are still in Taurus. That's what we're doing. So now, we're going to meditate with our Rama Dasa, bring healing to the earth, and afterwards chant a call for the people that were killed in the recent earth changes, and the people that we don't know about that have left the planet too. So any souls that we can liberate with these beautiful energies, we'll do so with our Rama Dasa and our Akal. So here we go.